Tammy the Personal Robot, Ian's Holiday Gift Guide, and the best video games of the year. Live from the Twit Studios in Petaluma, California, it's the new Screensavers.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
The new Screensavers is brought to you by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website at WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month, and you can get 15% off any new plan at WordPress.com/NSS. And by Hover. Register a domain name with Hover and build your online brand today. Go to Hover.com/twit and save 10% off your first purchase. And by Audible. For a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. Go to audible.com/twit or text twit to 500-500.
And I'm also known as Ian Thompson in some areas.
And thanks to Sean from Carmel, Indiana. Sean is celebrating his 62nd birthday tomorrow. Oh, no, that's me. Sorry, Sean. Didn't mean to do that to you. Happy birthday. What does that make you, a Sagittarius or a Scorpio? Sag? Okay. Well, I'm also a Sagittarius, you know, Ian.
I'm not an astrology follower, but apparently this just makes me a typical Gemini.
It means nothing. What's funny is I asked a kid at called the radio show. He said, my birthday's today. I said, oh, mine was a couple days ago. Are you a Sag? He says, I don't know. I said, yes, astrology finally dying with the new generation.
Well, my wife was kind of a little bit concerned when we first started going out because it's like, I can't honestly get involved with somebody who believes in astrology. And luckily, she's really cute. So, you know.
Did she say something, though, like, oh, you're a Gemini, I'm a Pisces?
Oh, no. We'll she was just like, along. That's a typical Gemini attitude.
Oh, that's a good line, I think. I just say that all the time. We've got a great show coming up today. We're going to show you Temmie. This is a robot. You followed you around, right?
It has been following me around, yes.
Danny Isserles, who is a movie star in Israel, in a movie won the Silver Lion at the Venice Film Festival. He got tied up with his robot company. He's going to show us the Temmie autonomous personal robot.
Indeed, and I've got a holiday guide coming up. We're going to be looking at
all this
phone cases,
gifts.
Battery cases, underwater power supplies, and of course toolkits because I'm a big Reuter repair fan.
You know, I'm just glad you didn't bring any knives.
I'm wearing one.
Oh, you are. Wait a minute, you got to show him your gift from us, right?
Yes, this indeed. This is a gift from Twit.
He's got the survival belt.
A belt buckle, which
belt
has,
sponsor.
If I actually take it out,
a knife. Stand back.
That is going to get me
armed.
It's going to get me felt up by customs officers around the world.
I would not try to wear that through the TSA.
If no.
Also, a bonus gift guide, because Sam Mashkovich of Ars Technica on know-how this a couple of weeks ago did a list of all his favorite multi-platform games. So he'll be giving you his favorite games for the holidays.
Indeed. And, of course, we've got the questions coming up as well, as he says as he fixes his belt.
I shouldn't have asked you to do that.
That's okay. That's fine. We've got the questions coming up, including one from my fellow Brit who has an aunt who's being contacted by Microsoft Tech Support. Oh, I want to have some fun with those people.
Have you ever gotten the call from, I'm calling from Windows? Yes. That's what I love.
I've always wanted one because you can have so much fun with them. It's like, well, no, actually, I'm running a custom version of Linux. It's kind of it's like, and by the way, what's my IP address?
Well, I was in my car. I could have said, I thought the Tesla ran Linux. Is it running Windows? Oh, yes, it's running Windows. And you're infected!
Yep.
Big news. The number two all-time breach has been broached.
Oh.
So, on the all-time breach list, the king and probably forever champion is Yahoo.
Yeah, you can't beat having your entire ownership pwned completely.
3 billion accounts pwned.
Yeah.
They are also number two with half a billion.
Mm-hmm.
But the Marriott group now is right up in there, another half a billion. But they get a special award for being hacked the longest without knowing it.
That was insane. You know,
2014.
What is their IT department doing? You know, I mean, seriously, this is not, you know, this is kind of your job, and to let it go for 4 years. Absolutely bonkers.
To be completely fair, it's the Starwood Group that got hacked. They acquired them in 2016. Nevertheless,
well, you'd think due diligence.
Yeah,
you know,
a good long time. They found out last week that hackers had been wandering around in the Starwood reservation system, which is the reservation system used by 1,200 hotels
indeed,
all over the world, not just Marriott but Westin.
Let's just say I'm going to be looking at my credit card statements very, very carefully for the next 6 months.
It's 500 million accounts.
Who'd have thought people stayed in bad hotels that much? But you know.
500 million, that's pretty much everybody who's ever stayed in a hotel, I would guess. It depends, though. Not everybody's data got completely exfiltrated. Some people was just name, address, phone number, birth date, and passport number. That's all.
Nothing more than that.
No big deal. Add into that credit card numbers used and points number. Actually, in every case, your special points award.
But apparently also the CVV number as well.
Right, yes. In some credit cases. Credit card and CVV.
And they hadn't properly hashed these passwords, which is just...
Well, Marriott said, well, we're not really sure if they could unencrypt them.
Yeah, right. When they say we're not really sure, that means they probably could have. Otherwise, we would have said they definitely
can't.
They
were using Rote 13 is what that means. We reversed them and put it in reverse order. That probably slowed them down.
Yeah, it's like, it's possible, maybe. But if they're absolutely sure, they'd say, this hasn't happened.
Marriott says it's sending emails out to those affected. But it's going to take some time, because it's 500 million people. You can only, on their system, 20 emails a day. So...
Given the lousy Wi-Fi you tend to get in these hotels,
we're using the Marriott Wi-Fi. This may take a while, boys.
Unless you pay extra for the high-speed Wi-Fi.
So now they are tied for second and the largest data breach of all time. Somebody in the chat room says, oh, what about Equifax? Equifax, they were punters, 143 million accounts. No big deal. 500 million now, that's a number.
Yeah, also, we don't really have a choice whether we use Equifax, whereas, you know, with the Marriott, then you actually have a choice whether you stay in those hotels.
That's true. That's actually a very good point. I don't know what you should do if you have, as most people do, an SPG or a Marriott account. I would guess change the password.
Absolutely. And also, because people reuse passwords so much, just make sure that wasn't a password you used for an important account.
Yeah, because that's the kind of thing I might use. Who use a password manager and generate long, strong passwords, on accounts where I don't really care if somebody gets in.
Yeah.
Like my New York Times password, I use the same thing, basic password. Probably that one I would use a real password.
Well, you see, what I do with these circumstances is when it's an account I don't use that much, I'll just create a one-off password that's complete gobbledygook, like 18 digits.
Password manager.
And then forget about it. And the next time you come in, password. Right, let's redo the password.
That's brilliant.
So that way you don't have to worry about remembering the password because you're not using it that often.
That's brilliant. So, and they'd have to have access to your email account.
Exactly.
That's brilliant. You're a clever fella for a Brit. So this is probably...
Oh, right. Okay. We gave you this
first
country,
of all, he's not
man.
British. He's Scottish. That's a very big difference. This is perhaps the most important. This is a story, I think when you read it, maybe 20 years from now, you'll look back and say, oh, yeah, I remember in December 2018 when the first gene-edited babies were born. Now, you think it might be crap. There's a doctor in China, Dr. He. What's your name? Dr. He? hope he's not a smoker. In China, has used CRISPR. Now, CRISPR, he claims, and he's done videos and stuff, he claims. CRISPR is like cut and paste for genes. You can take little snippets of one gene and put it into another gene.
It's tremendously powerful technology.
He has used it in modifying in embryos to eliminate a gene, the CCR5 gene, which apparently increases resistance. Not having it increases resistance to HIV, smallpox, and cholera.
Smallpox hasn't actually been noticed in the wild until 1977.
I think it's been cured, but...
Yeah, cholera we have a vaccine for, and AIDS we have condoms.
Doesn't matter. It's a proof of concept.
Yeah, and at the same... But you remember what
AIDS,
happened with Dolly...
AIDS, we have condoms. A lot of good that's done.
Well, true,
It's a proof of concept. So...
You remember what happened with Dolly the sheep, the first sheep to be cloned. That, you know, we've cloned a sheep.
She
and then
died
2 years
young.
Later, she died...
Yeah.
incredible. These children, I really fear for them, because this is going to... It's not like there is a gene for a specific thing. It's like lots of little things, knock-on effects. So if you take one gene out, you don't know what the knock-on effects. And I worry for these kids.
There's also, of course, the issue, and I've seen actually some doubt thrown on CRISPR, where we first thought CRISPR is going to change the world, that because we don't really understand really what all the...
No.
Let's do.
We're completely working in the dark on this one.
You might accidentally mess something up or include something you shouldn't include. There's garbage DNA, all sorts. So this is why in almost every country in the world, it's illegal to do this. In China, it's unclear whether it's illegal. He's been very public about it, which means the Chinese authorities at least have not prosecuted him. There is a guidance against doing it, which is not clear if that has the force of law. So he has been able to do this in Shenzhen, China, he claims. There is the claim also that babies now with this edit have been born.
Yes, they were born in November, apparently, two of them. 130 Chinese scientists have said this is absolutely wrong. This is not what you should be doing with this.
But the question is, did he do it?
This is the big question.
Yeah.
And until the evidence is put out there and peer-reviewed, then we're not going to know. I mean, I hope, for the children's sake, that he hasn't done it. But
think of the children.
Well, I mean, obviously, think of the children is something I use a lot to take the mickey out of things. But in this case, when you're talking about taking a gene out of a human being and not knowing what the potential consequences are, then that's a really, really dodgy ethical line. And I don't honestly think they can be countenanced.
Dr. He Jiankui announced this on November 29th at the Second International Summit on Human Genome Editing in Hong Kong. They made a statement at the end of this conference. We heard an unexpected and deeply disturbing claim that human embryos have been edited and implanted, resulting in a pregnancy and the birth of twins. Even if the modifications are verified, the procedure was irresponsible and failed to conform with international norms.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, this stuff is going to be done. You know,
well, and that's my point, is you will think back to this day and say, oh, I remember hearing, as with Dolly.
Yeah.
Now, as with Dolly, maybe cloning hasn't really taken off, although I hear people clone their pets now. Have you heard that?
There's pet cloning. There's also, actually, it's very big in the farming industry, because when you've got a really good bloodline, that's a good way to carry it
forward.
This
whole thing of mating and stuff, that's just too unpredictable.
But, I mean, think about this. In 50 years' time, I think we're going to get to the state where if you actually have a baby the conventional way, by just, knocking feet and, someone gets pregnant, you're going to be looked on as irresponsible, as opposed to taking it to a lab, getting it checked so there's no short-sightedness, there's no preponderance to heart disease or obesity or whatever. This stuff is coming, but it needs to be done responsibly. And from what I've seen, this guy is not being a responsible scientist.
Well, and there is also some question of whether he's just a publicity hound
and hasn't actually done what
he says he's done. So it may end up being like when you heard about Dolly, it ended up being not a particularly important thing. Or it may end up being this is the first occasion of genetically edited babies being born and just the beginning. Because as you say,
it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah. It's the potential benefits are too large to ignore.
And you could think, I mean, all of the ethical conundrums, for instance, if it's probably going to be expensive at first, right?
Oh,
so
of course.
Is it only people who are very rich that will have the ability to have children that have genes that make them smarter, faster, more attractive?
I've got to say, when we were talking about this in the office, it was like, is Peter Thiel involved in this?
Yeah.
Has he got his blood boy back?
Yeah. His blood boy. Speaking of hacks, this was an interesting hack. Apparently, somebody hacked 50,000 printers. You have to describe this to me, because I didn't know this story. To tell people to subscribe to PewDiePie's video channel?
Yeah, this is...
What, the printer spit out a piece of paper that said subscribe to PewDiePie?
Yeah, this is a two-year-old vulnerability.
I know this vulnerability has been around for a long time.
Yeah, which we've known about. Someone claims to have done a Shodan search and done some really quite, sort of basic hacking to get everyone to print out...
Here's the printout.
Yeah.
It says, attention, PewDiePie is in trouble and he needs your help to defeat T-Series. This is actually an interesting story. T-Series...
Bollywood.
Is Bollywood. Yeah. But apparently the subscription has been put automatically, I think, on phones. So that T-Series is about to become the most... In fact, I think has become the most subscribed YouTube account.
I know it was close.
It's very close. Beating PewDiePie. And, of course...
Bully for our side. We want PewDiePie to win. I don't know what that means.
That guy's a complete useless waste of flesh and organs.
Frankly, if Bollywood wants to be number one, let him be. I don't care. But even my 16-year-old now, he had his birthday last week. My 16-year-old was talking about this. Oh, yeah, PewDiePie's about to be beaten by Tier Series. It's like a big deal. So somebody used this years-old hack on, is it HP only or is it a variety?
No, it's a variety of older printers. Basically, if you've left port 9100 open, then you're vulnerable to it. And you haven't patched your system in 2 years. And yes, it printed out this message saying, you know, go for Team PewDiePie and, you know, this is easy.
Unsubscribe from T-Series. Subscribe to PewDiePie. Share awareness to this issue at hashtag save PewDiePie. Tell everyone you know. Seriously. Brofist. Extra points.
Brofist. Oh, for goodness sake.
I don't know what that means, but I don't want to do it.
Does that mean it sounds like a pain in the ass, personally, but no.
Brofist. Don't leave me hanging, bro. Thank you. Finally, and more important, real news, NASA has landed the InSight lander on Mars.
Yep. We're finally getting over the 50% success rate for landing on Mars now.
And is it going to go right over and beat up... Curiosity?
Curiosity's going to go... Well, we're still... honestly, I'm still waiting for opportunity to come back online, and we haven't got it yet, but
how many things
crossed.
Do we have on Mars?
We've got Opportunity. Spirit's a bit dead at the moment. We've got, I think, 8 satellites going around the outside of it now. Curiosity 2020 is going to land in a couple of years' time. We're getting around there, you know. I mean, Elon's going to have some competition when he finally makes it. But InSight's really interesting because it's actually going to burrow down into the core of Mars and get an idea of what's going on inside, which we've never done before.
It's got a seismograph on it.
The sort of the mole that's going to go down, I think it's 16
meters. Actually, not seismograph. It's a sonograph. It does have a seismograph on it?
Seismometer.
And a device
that will burrow in.
Yeah, the mole.
Check the temperature.
We're learning about the Martian core.
Okay. There'll be seismological stuff there. We might get an idea about why the core isn't moving and why there's no magnetic field, which is going to make it a real pain in the ass to settle there. But we will get there in the
end. Why? Do we need a magnetic field?
Well, yeah.
To stop
radiation coming in. And basically,
you need a Van Allen belt.
Yeah, you can't spend an awful lot of time on the Martian surface without shielding.
Oh, wow.
We'll get there in the end.
Really? Did you see Elon Musk says he said there's a 70% chance he's going?
Yeah, I know. Well,
where did he get that number? I think there's a 43.8% chance I'm going to go.
I got the feeling Elon's just like, oh, I haven't been in the headlines for a while. What can I say now?
What can I tweet to get in the headlines? We're going to take a break. Then we're going to go visit Temi. You've already met Temi.
I have, and I'm rather impressed with it.
It's not Temi, right?
Temi!
Temi, the robot, will be joining us in just a bit. But first, a word from WordPress. 12 years now I've been using WordPress.com to host LeoLaporte.com, my blog. If you're a business, if you're an individual, everybody needs to have a website. I'm not saying this frivolously. I firmly believe this. Certainly any business that doesn't have a website is living in the 19th century. I mean, come on. You have a phone, don't you? You should have a website so customers can find out about you, so that you can spread the word on Twitter and Facebook by linking back to your home on the internet, your web page. I tell teenagers this all the time. If you don't put up a website, then when people search for your name on Google, they're going to find whatever they find, and it ain't going to be by you. You know, the Facebook page, that doesn't count. Snapchat account, that doesn't count. Twitter account doesn't count. All that is other people hosting your information. You want to host your own information. If you're going to do it at the right. Do it with WordPress.com. 32% of all the websites in the world run on WordPress. There's a reason why almost a third of all the websites in the world run on WordPress. It's the best. And WordPress.com makes it easy. It's hassle-free. They take care of the hosting. They take care of the security, the software updates. All you have to do is put content on your personal site or your business site. And when it costs less, as little as $4 a month, That is little. That is very little. That means that's a lot less than I was paying when I did the self-hosted WordPress. And boy, it's a whole lot.
Oh, yes, that's a different kettle of fish entirely.
And the thing about WordPress is you own your site. WordPress.com is your place. You can upload video, audio, images to it, and you keep them. You can download them, export them anytime you want. They have built-in backups, so you never are at risk of losing your data. Even if, you know, if you're on Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg doesn't like the look of your cut of your jib, he can shut you down.
Because of your jib, I'm rubbing off on you.
I don't even know what that means. But all I do know is when you have a WordPress.com site, that's your site. And I love the WordPress.com app. Makes it very easy to manage your site, not just post content. And I did that the whole time we were traveling around Europe. It was so easy. I was using the iPad and the WordPress app. But you can also use it to moderate comments, keep spam off, and check your stats to see. It's really fun to see all the likes. I've replaced my social media with my WordPress site.
This is it. You're off Twitter now.
I am off Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, even Tumblr, because I'm thinking I should own my content. I should put it up on my site, and if people want to know more about me, they can go to my site, right? Yeah. On WordPress.com. You should do the same thing. I'm not saying you have to give up on Instagram, but if there's something satisfying about posting to
exactly.
your site and Instagram if you want, or linking from Twitter to your site.
Exactly, and right? owning your own data.
Owning your own stuff. That's the whole point. Right now, 15% off any new plan purchase when you go to WordPress.com to create your new site. It's WordPress.com/NSS. I want you to use that. That way you will get credit for it. WordPress.com/NSS. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a movie star in our midst, Danny Isserlis. Danny, nice to meet you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Israeli movie star. What was the name of the movie that won the Silver Lion?
Foxtrot.
Foxtrot.
It's quite controversial.
Is it?
Yep.
What do you play in Foxtrot?
I am the bearer of bad news and then some good news. I flip the movie in the middle.
Oh, that sounds like a fun role. I'm going to look for it.
I'm going to hit Netflix later.
Yeah, you should. It's an amazing movie. Very, very... I'd say depressing in a way, but it makes you think of... it's very existentialism.
Life isn't always Disney.
Yeah. Are you still acting, or is that over for you?
I'm pretty much working 20 hours a day on this.
So it's interesting, because you actually, before you became an actor... You were a geek.
Yes, yes.
Did you take a computer science degree?
Yes, but you know, it was the time where the teachers knew much less than us about computers.
That time still here.
So you know, they would just let us play games.
Nice.
And they said, as long as you ace the tests, play how much you want. So we would just sit, you know, all connected and...
Fun.
Connected computers and play Descent. It was some kind of...
I remember that. That was a hard game because you could be upside down. You could be right side up. I'm glad they don't have a VR version. So when Temi came along, did you just look at this and say, I want to be part of this?
Well, yes. I actually joined the company working on other robotics that they had. And I got very familiar with the technical side. And this is a project that I got involved from the start, and I'm very, very excited and proud about it.
Is this their first consumer robot?
Yes. This is actually, we see it as the world's first personal robotic assistant that actually works. Having said that, it probably will malfunction somewhere down the road.
It's not a proper demo unless something goes wrong.
This is the prototype, though.
But you're going to
ship in March, you said.
Yes. Already started mass production in Shenzhen, Dr. He's hometown.
But I have to say, you're not making these by cloning them. You're actually building
them. No. We are building them. We're not pulling out any genes from nobody.
I love the box it comes in. No assembly required. It's there. It's ready.
One piece, yep.
So show us what Temi can do.
Okay. So the basic layer, or the first layer of Temi that you'll see, you'll kind of recognize it's more like a smart display, like the Amazon Show, Google Home Hub.
So this is a fairly large tablet, like maybe a 9 or 10-inch tablet?
It's a 10-inch QHD tablet.
Very good quality.
I just tapped the interaction button.
It's also its head.
It can move. And now Temi instantly locked on my face, body, and clothes. It's not specifically me, and I'm not wearing some kind of special device. You can...
Can I steal attention?
You can... but it's pretty robust.
I'm getting him over here!
You got it.
Tammy, I got you. So it knows I'm a person and it's following me.
Exactly.
It's a little creepy.
It looks...
Okay.
But that's
Ian,
my choice.
Ian,
that's,
tap in.
That's why we have a button.
Oh, there's a button.
On the head. Yeah.
You
stop it from following.
He knows what he's doing.
Okay.
And now it goes.
Following me. And then
and I'll show you in a bit.
Oh, that's so cool.
What's the use of it?
Yeah, what's the use of that?
Aside from it being magical. So as I mentioned, this is a smart display. You can ask questions. You can order an Uber, etc. And the screen will always tilt your face. Mm-hmm. And you can walk around the house with music, actual sound system, designed sound boxes.
Where are the speakers? Are they?
You've got, it looks
so
like
the
you
speakers are spread. This is a subwoofer.
Oh, so it's got a sub.
Two mid-range and two tweeters.
Let's hear some music.
Yeah, hey, just get some decent bass going.
Play Kendrick Lamar.
Nice choice. I like Kendrick. You're going to say something bad about Kendrick. You better watch out.
I was going to say it's a massive attack, but hey, you know, to each their own.
Okay. So it's also playing the video, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, so basically this is a full-on entertainment system. You can use Netflix on it and enjoy it.
It sounds good.
And
it's rocking us out.
If you've always wanted Kendrick to follow you, just tap the button. And Kendrick's my follower right now. So, you know, thanks, Kendrick, for following. So, obviously, you know, you figured out that you can walk around your home or office with the internet. You can call it over, which is kind of cool. But what we see as the most exciting feature, it's not completely new to the world, but we've integrated technology which no other company has achieved or integrated into a telepresence robot. So I'm just mirroring the screen now so we can see.
Now, you see, you do need to put a toilet plunger on the sides and get it to say exterminate an awful lot.
It doesn't do, like a Dalek. It doesn't do anything but you know, self-contained. Like, it doesn't vacuum or serve dinner.
No. It manages your smart home, so you can tell the vacuum to vacuum.
Look, I see you.
Yeah, so now we're in a video call. What starts as a video call, got it on the display as well. So
it's Danny Isserless, movie star, on the other side. Hey, Danny.
Hey.
Love Foxtrot. Oh, that's cool.
So any point of interest I tap, Timmy will look there. So it's really, really easy to control.
This is for you, from your point of view, you could put this in a museum or in a house and look around. You can see what's going on.
So the first use would be, you know, either in your home, you know, either you're stuck in the office and you promised your kid you'll read him a bedtime story. So you can hop into the robot, tap Bobby's room, and this is something that no one has. It has a LiDAR and 16
sensors.
It
has LiDAR in it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Talking about this study. It's got a sort of sideways on LiDAR.
Isn't LiDAR like $10,000?
So, you know, we developed it ourselves.
Oh, my God.
So this is a
It has a 3D image of the room.
2D.
2D.
Mapping. And so I can just preset locations, and then I say, go to the kitchen, go to Ian's room, go to Leo's room, and it knows. So that's the easiest way to drive it around.
You're going to have one messed up kid, though, because he's going to think Dad is a robot.
Well, it's interesting. Edward Snowden used a very jury-rigged version of something like this.
I remember this, because he can't go leave the Soviet Union or Russia to...
Yeah, I know. We're both of the age where we think of it as the
Soviet Union.
And it's not that far off from
it
now.
But it's coming back, baby.
But yeah, one of the things, we were talking about this earlier, one of the ideal things, I think, for this is restaurants, because it will get rid of the maitre d'.
Oh, it could be a waiter.
Yeah, this can take you to your seat. This can show you the
menu.
Put a
drink on there right here, like this.
There's a bunch of retail uses, corporate uses that we see from hosting to info kiosks. You enter a huge supermarket and you ask, where's the toilet paper? Follow me to aisle 9.
Yeah.
So that's also something that we're very much looking into. But we are really, really excited about the consumer market. And the reason is we see our mission as, you know, every startup has to save the world in some way. And the way
make the world a better place.
Of course we are. So the way we are making the world a better place is reconnecting people. Why? Because when we do this, we're not actually connected. Right. We're disconnected. So when you come home, put your phone on the Qi charger, and you're done with your phone.
Yeah.
Now you want to consume the internet? It'll process for a second. You won't just scroll like a zombie. You'll call it over, and you'll use it in high quality, comfortably, on your sofa or on your dinner table, however you want, but you won't be like this. You'll actually lift your head, and you'll remember you have family and friends and books and pets. And
a robot.
And speaking of pets, also, my cat would love this, because she used to love riding around on the Roomba. So
you need a little cat seat. I guess that's his catsy. So how long is the battery life on this?
So the battery is 8.5 hours, continuous, listening to music, following, etc.,
awesome.
Telepresence.
And it'll dock itself automatically?
Whenever it's exhausted, it docks itself.
It's got a little charger there, and it rolls right onto it. Wow, that is so cool. So it might sleep, it might spend the night on its charger. I love it. That is, it's a little creepy, but I guess you get used to it, right? It's just following you around. And you can say not to.
Yep.
The idea, though, is it's always there as your entertainment device or your music device. It's,
yep.
It's following
you. In every room you want, you know, you don't have to go to the kitchen to listen to music.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, remember we were talking about, you're going to remember the day you first heard about gene editing.
Yeah.
You're also going to remember the day you first heard about a personal robot following you.
I was going to say, give this thing arms, I'm sold.
We've seen it. I mean, I bought a Jibo, remember that?
That
thing's still in the box over there. That was a really dopey. But it didn't follow me around, except it watched me. And blinked, and it made snoring sounds, which I found unexpected. And then, and remember, we had Corey was one of our sponsors, Bosch's little personal robot. They couldn't get it out the door; they couldn't manufacture it. So, you may win this race.
The race is wide open.
Yeah, we are planning on winning, first of all. And as you can see, unlike Jibo and others, this is not supposed to be cute. This is supposed to be a usable device.
I like the industrial design, though. But you're right. It's not trying to look like a person or an object. It just looks like a utility.
Which from a robotics perspective, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Because human beings, you know, bipedal robots don't make a lot of sense. They're very difficult to work
on. Can this go over wires and stuff, door jams, things like that?
To an extent. You know, the separators, it goes over it.
Yeah.
I'd say about an inch and a half.
Okay, pretty good.
So
that's... Teamy. I hear you saying teamy. Is that how you like to say
that's
it?
That's very controversial. Again, it started teamy, then we see that in the U.S. everybody pronounces it Temi, so we're kind of going with the flow, but I'm, you know, from the old age.
Well, you get a little long vowel sound over the E, so teamy.
Teamy.
It's better than Timmy. Timmy.
That's my favorite function, by the way, putting on Timmy.
Yeah,
and having Timmy following me around.
Timmy! That would be very creepy. Where can people find out more about Timmy?
So we have a beautiful website, robotimmy.com.
Where
you can pre-order right now. And you can also see us in beta stores across the U.S.
Oh, you're in the beta stores.
Yes.
That's a really cool place. I
it
love
is.
Those beta stores.
It is.
$14.99. And you're going to add capabilities and software. I know you're working on Amazon Voice Services, things like that.
We're working on all sorts of virtual assistants. And this is also an open SDK, so we've already opened a developers program. And
could I write software for Temi?
Of course.
And what language does Temi speak? Python? Can I write in Python? I want Temi to speak Lisp.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Temi. I'm speaking Lisp. I think it would be very nice. So anyway, fun. So people can write software, too, because there's an open SDK.
Yep. Mm.
Really nice to meet you, Danny.
Thank you
for coming by. I'm going to watch Foxtrot tonight.
Tuesday.
I can't wait to see Danny as the bad guy.
I'm just loving this, watching following me around the house.
Go ahead. Turn on the follow thing and make him follow Ian for the rest of his life. Now, can you get away from him? Can you run away?
You confused him.
If you go too fast. But
so he's not that aggressive. He's not like RoboCop.
Well, no, but at the same time, you've got a good all-round LiDAR performance there.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
And
I like it that you've got LiDAR.
Yeah, that you've got LiDAR at this kind of... Because this thing costs less than a MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
So that you can get a LiDAR system on that. Job done. Nicely done.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Danny. Anyway, now stop following me.
RoboTemi.com. Or see them at the beta stores. That's kind of cool.
Mm.
We're going to take a break, and then you're going to get us your holiday gift guide, right?
Indeed.
All right, but first
some
a word.
Fun stuff.
Do you own any web domains?
I don't, in fact. No.
You don't?
Nope.
Deesnickers.com. Something like that. I think you should get a few of those.
Marmitetaster.com.
Glaswegiankiss.com.
I'm not that violent anymore. So my wife has made me step things down.
When it's time to get Glaswegiankiss.com, you go to hover.com. And you're going to get, that's the best domain registrar of all. No upsell. You know, sometimes you go to these places and you got 100 boxes to check before you can even buy the domain name. Well, don't you want web hosting? Don't you want privacy? Don't you want this? Don't you want that? With Hover.com, they know you want domain privacy. It's included in the price. They don't do web hosting, so they're not going to try to upsell you. It's a registrar, pure and simple. It is the simplest, fastest way to get a domain name, and man, do they have domain names. Of course, .com, but let's say you're a designer, a professional, and you'd like, I don't know, .design? Yes, they have it. In fact, this is a great time to buy .design domains. They're on sale at Hover for the month of December. $5.99, 85% off for the first year. That's one half what a .com. Ian'sKnickers.com. How about... It's available.
I don't wear them, not in public.
how about Ian'sKnickers.design?
Quite frankly, the idea of somebody actually designing my underwear for me is not one which fills me with
half
joy.
Half the price at .com for this month only. Web hosts and websites evolve as their brand and their website hosting needs change. That's why keeping your domain separate from your hosting is so important. I talk to people all the time. Where they say, well, but my web host owns the domain name. I don't know how I can get it away from them. No, go to hover.com, get the domain name, and then they make it really easy to connect your domain name to your website. If it's at WordPress.com or Tumblr or even Facebook, Blogger, Squarespace, 500px, you see all of these? One button click, it'll set it up, connect it, and now... You know, I've got leo.social, for instance.
Really?
Which, yes. Now that I don't have any social media, I don't know what to do with it.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
It points to my microblog site,
ah.
Which is great. So you go to leo.social, you get my microblog, which it's a much better social network.
Yeah.
So this is a really nice way to get a we talked earlier about having a website. Honestly, get a teenager. What a great gift for a birthday present. That person's name.com, or maybe that person's name.design, or .ninja. If it's Michael, my son, that pizza is probably the right one. So, I like it. MichaelKensel.pizza.
That's going to be an interesting one.
And by the way, the best-in-class customer support. No upsell. Very straightforward. They're Canadian. They're nice. They will handle, if you have a problem, you won't. But if you ever do, they'll handle it right then. They won't pass you off from person to person. They are there to serve you. I also use it for email, and I think it's a really good idea. They don't do email servers.
Your email, yeah.
I forward it to. I used to forward it to Gmail. Now I forward it to Fastmail. But it's my domain name, and I control it. And if I decide to move to another email provider, it's a simple thing. Just change the redirect. It's a really nice thing to do. We actually recently got a Laporte family email, so we have a family email. It is fascinating. It's so easy. It's so simple. And I see so many people who are still at AOL.com. I really have to wonder why, when you could go to hover.com/twit. Don't forget, for the month of December, design.design is on sale for $5.99. Oh, and new customers can get an additional 10% off any of the 400 top-level domain extensions. Go to Hover. Of course, they got .com, .net, and all, you know, all the usual, .org. But they have some really fun, clever ones, too. Just, you know what? Go there. Hover.com/twit. Enter a name. Enter something. Ian's Knickers is fine. And see
actually,
all the...
they are, but they're kind
fine.
Of comfy and good
they're
support.
They're fine, yeah. My friend. Hover.com/twit with 10% off your first purchase. Hover.com/twit.
It's interesting all right. What you're saying about the email, because we had somebody apply for a job with us last year, and they had a Hotmail account.
You see, now
and
right
it's
there...
It's just like, really, just gone.
Judgments. You know? Have judgments about them, right? They might be a perfectly nice person, but Hotmail? Really?
I know. What is this,
really?
The 1990s? It's just...
Yeah, I still see people with AOL.com.
And I mean, do you remember when John Brennan, the CIA head, got hacked? He was using an AOL account. The CIA, and he's got an AOL account.
Really?
It's just like...
Well, you know what? No one would ever suspect.
Well, there is that. Yeah. Security, yeah, security by obscurity. But yeah.
I have so many Hover domain names. I can go .io, which is... I think .io is a fun TLD. I have a bunch of .io. For my web servers, I have .network, which I use. Not .net, but .network.
And, of course, with Twit, you're supporting the island state of Tuvalu.
Tuvalu. We love Tuvalu. Yes, we do. Hover.com/twit. Now it's time for Ian's gift guide. See, we made a little logo for you.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
Thank you very much.
So all month long, during December, we're asking our Screensavers co-hosts to come up with some favorite holiday gift ideas. We figure they're going to be geeks, so these will be gifts that the geek in your life would appreciate.
Indeed. Well, if you're looking for a good gift from Santa.
They are so close, aren't they?
Oh, indeed.
Is that a coincidence?
Well, you know, they enslave elves in the northern. But no, I mean, obviously... the big items, gifts are, you know, smartphones, computers. But with smartphones particularly, we were talking about this a couple of months ago, and it's always stuck in my head. If you own a smartphone, particularly with the new Apple and the new Pixels that are coming out, you're spending $1,000 on a smartphone. Now, if you drop it, you're about to bugger that completely. So you need a case on it. And people are just like, oh, I don't need a case. Seriously. Just spend 20, 30, 40 bucks and you can protect this thing against having to rebuy a, you know, $1,000 smartphone.
And they're a great stocking stuffer. Or I guess in Scotland, you probably call them the porridge pot stuffer. What is the tradition? I know in the Netherlands, they put Sinterklaas puts stuff in a wooden shoe, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
here in the United States, in a big stocking. What do they do in Glasgow?
Well, I'm more of a sort of West Coast Scot myself.
Oh, sorry. All right.
But at the same time, you get cola in your stocking if you've been a bad boy.
Oh, they
and
do.
And you get orange if you've been a good boy.
All right, yes. Good. Well, I'm glad. So I think one of the fun things to do when you're doing a stocking stuffer is foreshadow the gift to come.
Ah, so if you put giving someone a phone,
case in the stocking, the child or adult will say, well, that's odd. I don't have a Pixel 3 phone.
Yes.
I wonder why Santa gave me a case.
Of course, if you're a real pain in the backside parent, you just give them the case and they open the phone.
What phone? There's no phone.
This is why
you
probably shouldn't have children. But no,
you will never. So but you like the inexpensive cases.
Yeah,
in fact, I'm showing them.
This is a Ringke.
Ringke.
Right?
I love Ringke.
Yeah.
They're under $10.
Cheapest chips.
Every phone. And what I like about them, you see, the iPhone is so pretty. Steve and company, I guess Steve didn't have anything to do with this one, but Johnny Ive and company put a lot of thought into this gold iPhone. You're going to put that in a big black case. Why bother? Whereas if you put it in one of these inexpensive TPU, they're just soft plastic cases,
and it
protects pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, what this does, and this is a really important thing with this, is because you've got that buffer zone, you avoid cracking the screen when you drop it.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's nothing going to protect it against.
No, if you get a direct strike to the face, you're buggered. So that's just the way of it. But, I mean, if you actually got, you know, just even. This is a $10 case, for goodness sake, and it can save you $500 in repairs.
And anytime I order a new phone, and as you know, I do that pretty much every day, I will always include. There's other companies. Spigen makes good ones.
Otterbox has got some nice things, but
I like the clear ones, though, myself.
Yeah, the clear is nice. The Otterbox I kind of like because they're slightly more robust, but what I don't like is they come with a belt loop. And it's just like, I'm sorry, this is 2018. If you're wearing your mobile phone on a belt holster, you should just shoot yourself now because it's the fashion faux pas of the decade.
Just go out and get those.
I mean, people used to do this with Blackberries in the, you know, in the 90s and early noughties, and it was kind of understandable because then people
have a leisure suit and a fanny pack.
Oh, the worst one I saw was a guy who got a shoulder holster for his phone. I was just like, you are one of the saddest people I've ever met.
Bond. You know? James Bond.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's other stuff. Urban Armour does some really hardcore cases. If you're in prepper mode, as it were, when it comes to your phone. Zero
Look
Lemon does some really good battery cases.
I've used UAG cases before.
Yeah,
what this is good for if you do have a teenager you're giving a phone to. The thin, Ringke cases are probably not going to provide enough protection.
No, I mean, let's face it, because teenagers being teenagers, it'll go everywhere. Yeah, you know, but
and I always bought my kids Otter boxes with lids. You know, because they have them with.
You see, I'm not sold on the lid.
Well, at least if they drop it, it's going to have something on the front.
Yeah, but
they weren't sold either. The first thing they do is take the case off and then drop the phone.
If you drop it onto a flat surface, you're probably okay. It's when you drop it onto an uneven surface, then you might, you know, crack up the front screen.
You still have a little plastic over it. I mean, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, but then when you use the phone, you've got to take the cover off.
Abby,
just one more thing.
Abby literally had her phone, her iPhone, I think it was a 7, for a year. And then she said, I want to clean it. So she took the OtterBox case off and dropped it.
That's Sod's Law, isn't it? You know, there's not a lot you can do about that. But, I mean, there's a lot of other things you can do with cases. There's waterproof cases, which, as a sailor, I'm very keen on. We've got the battery cases.
See, that's interesting. Who makes battery cases?
Like Zero Lemon's got a really weird one, which is, I mean, it's like 10,000 milliamps. How much battery is
10,000?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like three full charges of the iPhone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, particularly as we live in an earthquake country, that could be quite handy, but it's a big, fat case.
That's the problem.
It's not something you really want for everyday use. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's also skins as well, because a twit, Anthony a twit, has put his skin on his phone.
Okay, so I see these, all the YouTube guys like Marcus Brownlee, they're always doing ads for D-brand skins, right?
Yeah.
Or they always have at the bottom in the comments.
Now, that's what it looks like originally, and then you have to put it on.
What
maybe
kind
get a
of protection blood. Does that provide?
Oh, absolutely no protection at all, but it's personalization.
I see.
This is it, you see.
So they do it for the look. Because Anthony doesn't want his iPhone to look like an iPhone.
Oh,
wait, he then puts a case on it.
Oh, okay, extra secure.
And, by the way, it's not just any case. It's a case with a pop socket. Is that what that is?
Kind of
a pop socket?
It's a ring.
Oh, it's a ring? See, I see these two all the time.
I've never got those.
That's it's so you just, can...
Yeah, I know, but it's the extra,
that's a little,
for the extra weight, you know.
The other problem with this, Anthony, is it kills the wireless charging, right? You've got a big piece of metal behind your phone.
Oh, good point, does it?
Yeah.
It does. Ah, you see, give me wireless charging any day of the week.
Do you, Anthony, do you walk around doing that? I mean, no? It's like the Harlem Globetrotters.
So when I'm asleep, when I'm in bed, it doesn't blow my face.
Oh. Okay. Well, anyway, that's another thing. You can buy those little pop sockets for favorite sport teams or rock and roll groups or for soccer clubs, football clubs, and put them on the back. And they pop out, and then you hold the phone like that.
Yeah. Indeed. All very handy.
It's interesting, Anthony. So it's I didn't good know you were that kind of... You were one of those people.
Hey, if you love something, put a ring on it, you know?
Oh, he's a Beyonce fan.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but no.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
But so the D-brand skins are really customization.
Yeah.
And I guess they would protect, like, if you got a little piece of sand in the case, it wouldn't scratch the back. And these phones nowadays, they're so expensive and so fragile.
Oh, fragile and unsupported, yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, with Christmas coming up, winter is coming, and we had a power cut ourselves a couple of days ago with the recent storms. So, no piece of technology is any good at all without some power.
Batteries.
So, yeah, it's batteries, so you need something like... This, we always keep storable batteries powered up at our house just because when the power goes out,
you
really want it. Yeah.
No, actually, I keep it up because it's for Pokemon Go Community Day. You'll always be happy if you've got batteries on the ready.
I can't believe you're still doing Pokemon
I
Go,
run
mate.
Out the door, and Lisa says, don't forget the battery packs. And actually, this is a new one we just got. This is Aoki makes this. It's $30. Now, I always look at the battery packs. I look at the milliamp hours,
yes,
right?
So that's what you need
typical
to check.
iPhone... 3,000 milliamp hours, thereabouts. Mm. Some Android phones, 4,000 milliamp hours. But you want one that'll at least double your phone capacity.
At this, the very least. This otherwise, one is why carry it around, yeah.
$30 for 10. This is actually not the one you're showing. That's the PowerCore 28. This is the Aoki 10,000. I've got it on my screen. I don't know if you can see my screen. 10,000 milliamp hour battery bank. What I like about this is, and I think this is the future. This does have Type A USB charging, but it's got Type C both fill it up and deplete it.
Yes.
So I get fast charging when I'm filling up the battery pack, and I like that. A lot of them with micro USB take forever to charge up to 1,000 milliamp hours.
I mean, particularly with the old USB standard, you know, it's and now we have to shift to C.
Yeah.
It's
everything
C.
I've got C power connectors all over the place, so it's not a big deal for me to find somewhere to plug this in. It'll fill up in a couple of hours, and then it has the new fast charging power delivery, or PD, that is part of Type C, as well as Qualcomm's Quick Charge 3.0. So this will charge phones as fast as they can be charged.
Yes.
And I like it, the choice of Type A or Type C. This is, and look how slim, that's about the size of a phone.
I was going to say, when I first saw that, I was just like, oh, this is a phone with a cover.
You tried to open it, which I thought was rather amusing, because you can't. So Type C on the side to charge it, Type C and Type A, three ports on the top to charge it. And this works. This actually has enough juice and enough 18-watt delivery to slowly charge a laptop even, which is
great.
Well,
yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, this is good for phones, but honestly, I wouldn't trust my laptop with it. So
what do you have
a
for that?
Chance.
You got a fix for that?
APC.
Jeez Louise.
This is a heavy bugger at heart. But
that's just a big battery. Know, holy cow.
This is... You've got to have one of these in your home if you're in at all worried about power. Because
is this a holiday gift, though? Would you give somebody? You give your wife?
This is probably
honey, I've purchased a power.
Not my wife, no. But this is probably why my sister hates me. But I did actually give her one of these. Not
Merry
this particular
Christmas,
model,
dear.
But you
it's
know.
A UPS.
Well, no, seriously, because when the power goes out, you've got a certain amount of battery life on your laptop, yeah. if you're lucky. If you've got an old laptop, then you know, the battery life is measured in minutes. Something like this, it's a surge protector and it's a UPS.
That's why it's so heavy. It's got a big battery.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if you're running a home network and you want to shut everything down in a secure manner, then something like this can be invaluable. And the surge protection as well helps an awful lot. Yes, it's big, it's weighty, it weighs an absolute ton.
You know what I use that for, though? My Synology NAS at home. I don't want it to have abrupt shutdowns. That thing is important. That's my backups. That's all my data. So it's on a UPS. So if the power goes out, and it's on a UPS, and many of these will do that, they'll email me or text me if the power goes out. It's, and the Synology will do that as well. Say, I'm running on the UPS right now.
Yeah.
So you can run home and shut things down, or it'll run maybe for 15 or 20 minutes. And most outages.
This is it. If you're away from the house, you need something which is going to keep things running until you get there and shut it down safely. Now, I know we were talking about this earlier. I mean, on a larger scale, you have the Powerwall, which SolarCity are pushing out. I'm still unconvinced on that one.
I'm on the list to buy one.
Yeah, but you see, now you're a Californian. Yeah, we have earthquakes, and you know,
power goes out.
Yeah, when the power goes out, a Powerwall is invaluable. But for 99.9% of the time, basically, you're storing power which you would have already. And
the power goes out.
Yeah, but as I understand it, SolarCity can then use that power to balance out power systems.
Yeah, so we have solar panels, which we just basically pump back into the grid so that the city then sells us power at a lower cost, or it can sometimes spin the dial backwards on your meter. But if you add the power wall to it, then it will charge the power wall first, then send it out to the grid. And if the grid fails, you've got the power wall. And I'll tell you why we want this. We're on well, which runs on electric. So as soon as electricity goes out, not only do the lights go out, our water goes out.
Yeah.
Our septic system goes out. We can't go to the bathroom. I run an electric car, so that means I'm not going to be able to, you know, charge my car. So having a power wall is kind of like battery backup for the house.
Yes, true. Now, I mean, it's a lot of money, and I'm slightly skeptical about it for people who aren't in disaster zones.
Yeah. $5,000 or $6,000, depending on how big a power wall you want to get.
You know, but I mean, as I say, the big worry is the big earthquake that we're going to get.
And that's why I have a power
wall. And that's why a power wall is very good in California.
Because if the power goes out here, it's going to go out for weeks.
Yeah.
For after an earthquake. It may well go out for weeks. So
but if I was still in London, I wouldn't consider a power wall. Because if the power goes out in London, we're screwed anyway.
Yeah, because you're all going to go mad. It'll be like 28 days. Everybody will be dead. It's, you know, who cares?
Exactly. As long as they're slow zombies, not fast zombies, I'm fine with that. But, you know.
Yeah, who's scared of slow zombies?
Really? I know.
I mean, come on.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Just walk away. Walk away from the zombie.
But so, if you are worried about power, and also, you know, we're seeing increasing amounts of, you know, increasingly sort of violent storms and floods and the rest of it. If you are worried about going without power, then a power wall, I guess, does make sense. But it's an awful lot of money.
And there's nothing really that says Christmas more than something to prepare for the zombie apocalypse. Right? It's festive.
Yeah,
have a power wall.
Either Christmas. That or a large axe. But no.
Well, I see you've brought some other things. What else?
I'm a big Right to Repair fan.
I agree, yes.
When it comes down to it, this is the puppy's packet of Right to Repair stuff.
Puppy's Packet Ninja. I think that's your new website.
iFixit are the gold standard. You know, it's like I got an iFixit toolkit, in fact, from you for a Christmas present. And
see, we
it's
gave
amazing.
You the idea, didn't we?
Yeah, and it's amazing. When someone's computer goes wrong, I am always the first person they come to because they've actually managed to, you know, we've got all the screw heads in there. Because you know what Apple's like? They created their own screw heads to make it difficult to actually upgrade your
pencil lobe and, yeah.
Yeah. You know,
Steve Jobs did it back with the original Macintosh. They used Torx screws, which are predated Apple, nevertheless, not very common.
Well, no, but I mean, they said, are you sure you want to do this? You know, people can't get into it. And he's like, I don't want them to get into it. So that was Steve Jobs for you anyway.
You want to get into it. You can even fix Happy Meal toys from McDonald's with these. Did you know that?
I honestly, I only eat McDonald's when I'm really, really drunk. So
well,
I don't.
Next time have one of those Happy Meals for small children. And when you get the toy, you'll be able to fix it. iFixit is a sponsor. Of course, we love iFixit.com.
But I mean,
And you know, this is Megan's pick for the holidays, too. I think you're right. This is a great geek gift.
I mean, we've got to repair this stuff. Otherwise, it just ends up in landfill.
Right.
And that's fundamentally irresponsible. And also, why the hell should I buy a new piece of kit just because I can't repair it? So get out there, repair it, get on with it.
You know, I can't get into my phone case. Maybe you could open that up and see where my phone is.
Ha, ha, ha.
That is our holiday gift guide from Mr. Ian Thompson. I didn't give you credit. Register.co.uk, where he is news editor and is always a welcome guest here.
Always fun to come.
Happy holidays to you. What are you giving your wife? It's important.
It's a surprise, and I know she's watching this, so...
So just whisper it in my ear.
What?! Yeah, and then some, but
that's really a gift for you, I believe.
Well, possibly. No, actually, the gift for me is a bottle of Cask Strength Arran whiskey, which I'm going to be getting
a good choice.
On. Yeah,
a very good choice.
That'll be the way of dealing with the relatives.
That's
over the real Christmas period.
That's the real Glaswegian kiss.
Ah, well, yes, just slightly to the west of Glasgow, but yes, it's a great distillery.
We have another bonus gift guide, actually. This is kind of fun.
I want to see this one.
Yeah, me too. This comes from our know-how series, which has been all about gaming. Jason Howell with Sam Moshkovich of Ars Technica. Mm-hmm. Sam picked his favorite holiday cross-platform titles for 2018. Watch.
So why don't we jump right in? This first segment, we're going to deal specifically with multi-platform games. That's Xbox One, that's PS4, which I got a PS4, by the way, so I'm stoked for this segment, this whole episode, so I can figure out what to get for it. Also, PC is thrown in there, and you got a lot of games listed here. So where do you want to start?
We have a lot to dig in, and the first thing is the VR game that everyone is going to enjoy. It is called Beat Saber. It is on PlayStation VR and Vive and Oculus Rift. This is one where you're going to need handheld controllers because you have lightsabers in the middle of a crazy world where notes are coming at you. The way I like to describe it, it is DDR for VR. You can't jump around while you've got a headset on. So how the heck do you make that work in VR? You bombard your vision with these little blocks that have arrows on them, and you slash them to a certain direction, and it's time to the beat of the songs. It's a great workout. It's awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
So let's move on to something that doesn't require a bulky headset. I'm calling this the best Zelda game of the year, and that is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I've played a lot of Assassin's Creed games in my day, and I will get tired of them as much as the next person, but I believe this is the one that combines all of the ideas that have been happening over the past 5 years of the series, from naval battle to this sort of Witcher 3 style opening up of an RPG system. And there's just a lot of giant quest here. It is violent, and there is some hokey bits to the story, but all in all, if you just want a long, giant game that just delivers hours of that kind of open world, solid exploration game, this is one that is going to work. Speaking of sort of questing, if you need an old school RPG, Dragon Quest XI is out on PlayStation 4 and Windows PC. It's big, it's old school, and it does not compromise that sort of sense of random battle, tapping away through simple menus, and going through a giant quest with a lot of cute stereotypical characters, but with some amazing set pieces, these really exuberant anime voice actors that just get it right in terms of what cheesiness does work. Speaking of Japanese combat, one I would say just for all-around most interesting fighting game of the year, I'm going to have to give that to Dragon Ball FighterZ or FighterZ. I don't know which way is quote-unquote correct. But when you get a street fighting game where you've got your punches and kicks, your joysticks, you've got these sort of standard things you do when you sit and play a fighting game. And this doesn't necessarily break the mold in a giant way, but it does unify all of the characters to have essentially the same kinds of moves, meaning you're not having to memorize a ton of these quarter circle, half circle, hold back then forward, all these things that you can think of from 90s Street Fighter style games. Instead, every character has slight tweaks on the same formula where it's more about timing. And that means that everyone is sort of on the same page with these 3-on-3 battles of insane Dragon Ball characters who are all rendered incredibly. They're taking cell shading and really clever 3D tricks to make the game look like a hand-drawn cartoon. It looks amazing, and it's actually even good on the Switch. Whatever system you get it on, it performs well. Now let's rewind. To me, the biggest comeback story in terms of a game that's existed and come back for redemption is No Man's Sky. It is time to get the big, loud applause out for the team at Hello Games who forked the launch of this game. They made a lot of promises. They wanted people to get as excited as they were about their dreams. The reality did not come to fruition when it came out originally on PlayStation 4 and PC. Now it's also on Xbox One, and they have added so many systems over the past few years and finally squished them all together in a whole new patch that adds really great plot, really great building of these sort of bases. The world looks better. It just feels more like a real video game and feels a lot more like the vision that they put out there, that you were going to always discover something new and interesting that actually felt fun to play. Not a perfect game, but you can get it for pretty cheap. If you can find this for about $20 and you just want to bliss out in a crazy it world where everything looks like a 70s sci-fi book cover, boom, No Man's Sky. Now, in terms of smartphone gaming, I want to talk about PUBG Mobile. Now, there's a lot of people, again, I say Fortnite a lot, but I argue that PUBG Mobile is a more satisfying, more streamlined experience for playing on phone. The reason being, you do not get a sort of cross-population thing when you're playing this game on mobile. PUBG Mobile does sort of the similar thing as Fortnite. You drop into a giant island, you're battling 99 other people to be the last person standing. But this one is downmoded in ways that simplify the action that happens on the PC version. It's just really a solid engine. It just runs well on phone. Grab it for free if you want to play something violent while you're on the bus. Let's move to a totally different category, because I'm doing some weird categories here, and one of mine is the most interesting esport of the year. Spy Party. I'm just quickly mentioning this game because it has been in development for a long time. It had an early access release years ago, and it's finally out as just a beautiful, weird game where one person is a sniper and one person is an attendee at a party. It's two-player, and it's asymmetrical, meaning the sniper is trying to figure out which person in this 12 to 15 character party is a human as opposed to a computer-controlled character. And there's a lot of psychological back and forth as to who might be the human, what the tells might be, and how the game sort of forces you to do certain things that might break you and show that, oh, you're a human in this thing. And it's a weird one. I love it. I love watching it. So get onto twitch.tv and check that out if you ever can. So moving on to something that I'm not going to say is everyone's cup of tea, but has to be in the year-end list. This is a game called Return of the Obra Dinn. I'm calling it the most ambitious game of 2018. It is a one-bit murder mystery. The whole thing is a pirate ship where everyone has died. You get there, everyone's dead, and you're an insurance adjuster, and you have to figure out exactly how everyone died for the sake of your insurance job.
No way!
And the one thing you can do to figure out clues is you can hold up a magical pocket watch that reveals the moment that each person died. You'll hear them talk, and you'll see a freeze frame moment in 3D of how the death happened. And it's a pirate ship in the 1800s with some mystical elements, so you can imagine some of the deaths are weird. It's wonderful, and it's tough, but I swear it is worth it if anything about that sounds good to you. And I can finish this list with my personal game of the year that is on multiple platforms is Celeste. Celeste, when you look at this game, starts off looking like any other modern puzzle platformer. You're running around in 2D, everything's sort of chunky, pixelated like a Super Nintendo game. You're a little girl jumping around who have sort of a double jump ability. The way this game unfolds, every single level adds some new wrinkle to how you jump and move around. It's very clever in adding your superpowers into the levels as opposed to making you memorize more moves or add more buttons, meaning you've always got a very simple and accessible button suite to figure everything out. Plus, the game adapts in terms of how you want to play it. You can go through very easily and quickly through the basic levels. You can hunt for a wholly optional set of little berries that you pick up along the way. And on top of all of this is an incredible musical score and this touching story. Imagine, I don't know if you've ever been hiking or mountain climbing, but the feeling of climbing and mounting some insurmountable thing in your life. is really represented in the story and the idea of this young woman climbing a mountain, both literally and figuratively in the game. It really moved me. I got to tears because of the combination of the story, the aesthetics, and the feeling that I'd really accomplished something by figuring out how to jump around in this game. It feels great. All of the jumping has that sort of Mario style, just perfect twitchiness to it. I cannot recommend Celeste enough. Buy Celeste. Buy a copy of Celeste to your friends. It's topped.
You know, that was great, by the way. Thank you, Sam Maskovich, Ars Technica. He's our game guy, and he, of course, was did a great know-how series with Jason Howell, the know-how gaming series. I guess there's one or two more, right? It's not quite over yet. There's a couple more left.
And credit to him for the geekiest backdrop I've seen in a long, long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. His house
is geeks
wild.
Me, you know.
But what I love about this, I'm yelling at this, and I bet you at home were too. No, that's terrible. Oh, what a great game. What about game? It's such a personal thing, gaming. And everybody's got different interests and styles.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things, everybody who plays games has a strong opinion. Mm-hmm. When he said No Man's Sky, I said, no!
Right? No one's ambivalent about games.
Nobody's ambivalent.
It's just you either love it or you hate it. And it's like, personally, I'm still playing Age of Empires 2 just for the nostalgia
game.
Of it.
They re-released it in the high def mode.
Which I bought the second it came out. Yes,
it's funny, I love that game too.
Yeah, and Counter-Strike is always great fun as well. And, you know, it's the older games because I'm of the older generation. But looking at that last one, very blocky graphics, but we were talking about...
Kids love that.
Yeah, Minecraft, I think, has raised a new generation to expect a certain blockiness.
8-bit. They love 8-bit. I don't understand why. But they do. I thought the 1-bit pirate ship adventure, that looked very interesting.
That was Mac 2 level of graphics.
Very different. You know? And I do want to play the new Assassin's Creed. That looks really good. Some great games. Thank you, Sam. We really appreciate that. We're going to come back with our mailbag in just
Indeed.
A second. Brace yourself. Get ready for the answers. But first, a word from our sponsor. And I love this sponsor. And I look forward to doing Audible ads. Buy more ads next year because I have so many books.
Hey, Audible keeps my wife sane on a commute.
Keeps me sane. I used to commute like 2 or 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
And without Audible, I would have gone nuts. I was driving down to Tech TV. That's when I first started using Audible. In 2000, I now have more than 500 titles.
You realize there are people now who are ready to vote that we
can. I know. I love Audible. And they've just had something I really like, which is these Audible originals. Every month... They have, I think you can pick 2 out of 6 new Audible originals. And the new ones are coming out December 7th. So I was going to show you the new ones. But I will show you what I got from last month's Audible originals. There is a show called Have a Nice Day. It's an Audible original. Billy Crystal, Annette Bening, Kevin Kline. Ooh. It's kind of a play. That is awesome. So sometimes it's a play. I also got Stephen Fry. You know I love Stephen Fry. I bet you do, too.
Oh, indeed.
And he's got an Audible original. It's still available till December 7th called Victorian Secrets. He's reading from Victorian journals.
Ah.
And they're full of sex, romance, murder.
Oh, well, come on. Queen Victoria was doing coke and weed.
It was crazy.
Oh, yeah. You could buy opium over the counter.
And nobody better than Stephen Fry.
And we still
managed
to take over a fourth, quarter of the country.
Eventually, you know, with these originals, they become a book. So you could get them as an Audible book as well. In fact, I'm going to tell you how you can get a book for free right now. 3 months of Audible, just $6.95 a month. Go to audible.com/twit or text twit to 500-500. For a limited time, you get 3 months of Audible, just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. And when you do that, you get 2 of these Audible originals every month. I look for the Audible originals have now doubled my reading list on Audible. What else? Let me just look at what else I'm reading right now because I'm just a huge Audible fan. I'm just finishing. Have you ever heard of Edward St. Aubyn? British
no,
fellow.
I feel like I should have with a name like that, though.
He wrote the Patrick Melrose novels. Showtime made the series.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I'm loving those. I'm just finishing those up now. I'm a big fan of Jeff Wayne's The War of the Worlds.
Oh, classic.
Remember that?
Yeah.
He made a dramatization. It's a play, a radio play of The War of the Worlds with music from his classic War of the Worlds.
Oh,
that's another
nice.
Great one.
And you see, my wife's very into the Irving Welsh books at the moment. So those are really going. Oh,
what
is
that?
Trainspotting and.
Oh, the movie Trainspotting was based on his book.
Was based on his book. And he's done, all his books are now available, I think, on Audible. And they're done with Scottish accents. So my wife now swears at me in Scots.
Oh,
I love it. I had to watch Trainspotting 4 times before I understood a word they were saying.
Apparently they filmed it with subtitles over here. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But, you know, what can you do?
What language is that? It's Scottish. you wouldn't understand. So, yes, audible.com/twit, or you could text twit to 500-500, and you'll get a link. 3 months of Audible. This is a new offer. Just $6.95 a month. But I'm telling you, don't do it if you don't want to get hooked on great audio. You get a book a month, plus you'll get 2 of these Audible originals every month. It is the best money ever. And if you have to drive, or if you do anything, if you walk in the dog, if you're doing the dishes, vacuuming the house, if there's any time that you would like to be able to feed your mind, but you just can't hold a book, Audible is a great thing to have. Audible.com/twit or text twit to 500-500. And now it's time for the mailbag. Pitch it right here, baby. Whoa! Went right by me. Thank you, sir. The Pohl family visiting us from where are you guys from?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh and other points. But what does DG mean? Is that a Pittsburgh thing?
Data geek.
He's a data geek.
Good
so you do data processing?
It's big data.
Big data. And if I scanned that QR code on your shoulder, what would I get?
Probably a commercial product.
We'll find out what that commercial product is after I scan his shoulder. But first,
I'll go for that one.
Pick a mail, any mail. Here we go with the mailbag. Starting off with you, Ian.
Okay. Bingo. Okay, I'm a big fan from the other side of the pond, as in the great nation of the United Kingdom, and I have a really big problem. My elderly, rather forgetful aunt has recently been scammed via the telephone when you pretend to be from Microsoft, calls up and gets you to log into that laptop and give you access. You know the scam, they say you have a problem, they can fix it for a fee, and by the time I got to it, I was unable to change the boot sequence so I could reinstall Windows, so we chucked the laptop. Now, another month and a laptop later, we called her up and she gave them access again.
Oh, no.
I know. This time they installed remote access software and we're getting her to create a Western Union account to transfer 500 quid.
Oh, no.
Yep. And they've even been watching her through the webcam while we did this. Now, I want her to be independent. Good on you. And to be able to email her friends and family. But I need to find a safe way for her to do this. If I just buy her a Chromebook or an iPad, the same thing will happen. And she, if I just buy her a Chromebook and iPad, will the same thing happen or will she let them have access to it? At the moment, I'm printing out her emails and driving the 90-minute round trip to let her see them. Honestly, mate, you deserve a pat on the back being a really decent person.
What a nice nephew.
But I would say, get her off Windows. You know, get her a Chromebook. They won't allow the Chromebook.
It will not happen.
It will not allow you to install this kind of software.
Same thing with an iPad. It will not happen.
Yeah.
This kind of hack only works on Windows. And I've never seen anybody do it on a Mac. You could, theoretically.
Technically, yes, but they tend to avoid that. You know, these people are going for low-hanging fruit. Yeah. They're really after, you know, the basic Windows user who doesn't know what it is they're talking about. With Apple, with a Chromebook, they are going to be foxed. But also, Microsoft technical support will never call you on the phone.
Nor will you get a pop-up like that saying you need to do this, call this number.
Exactly.
That's not going to happen, nor is the IRS going to call you.
No, and they certainly don't take iTunes gift vouchers for starters.
So there's a story in the New York Times this week. It's actually interesting. There were some big arrests in New Delhi, which is...
Yes.
So New Delhi is the capital of customer service centers, call centers. And it turns out a lot of these guys work in call centers, normal real call centers, by day. At night, they moonlight. And they make these scam phone calls.
And in many cases, using the same infrastructure. It's just like, no, I'm working late. Right, okay, let's scam.
And it sounds realistic because they actually are support guys. So
they
sound like they're, you know, helpful support guys like you would get during the day. The other thing, of course, not only are they calling, but now we're seeing these pop-ups with your aunt.
Yes.
Microsoft did a survey. 1 in 5 Windows users has responded to one of those calls or pop-ups. That means 20%. And 6% have actually... given money to these guys. So the scam works this way. Not only do they get money, but they're going to get your credit card number when they get your money.
Yeah.
They're also going to get, they always ask for, remote access to your computer.
that gives them the opportunity to put malware, real malware this time, on your computer. And as you heard from our email, they might be watching you through the camera.
Yep.
They might be scamming all your other passwords and credit card numbers.
And also, I think this is what's happened with this chap's wife, is that once you've fallen for it once, you're then put on a list of this person's gullible. Let's get them in. So you're going to get bombarded with this stuff.
So you're right. I mean, if you can, education is a good idea.
Yes.
But if you have an aunt who's just forgetful or just doesn't get it,
yeah,
I think a Chromebook or an iPad is an excellent choice.
I think it's the way to go, honestly. I mean, this is almost exclusively a Windows problem. But just remember, I mean, this is the central advice with Windows is Microsoft will never call you up. It's as simple as that. This is always a scam. I'm actually feeling quite bitter because I want one of these people to call me up. I could string them along for hours, and it would be so much fun. So, yes, if you're a tech support scammer, hey, give me a call.
I've only gotten a couple of these, but every time I said, does your mother know you're scamming elderly people? Wouldn't she be ashamed of you? And they swear at me and hang up. So I think I'm touching a nerve.
Well, somebody, actually, there was the case about a year ago where somebody then found the number of one of these scammers and set up an automated script to give them a call every 30 seconds. And
No. There was one on Reddit the other day. They were giving 30 calls a second or 40 calls a second. They were DDoSing the scammer's number.
Obviously, it's illegal. We wouldn't possibly
support
it.
Highly illegal. Don't do it. The New York Times article was saying that there had been numerous arrests in in New Delhi with the cooperation of Microsoft and Indian police. But I have to say, I doubt that we'll put a dent in this business.
Oh, no. I mean, it's the Hydra's head. You cut one off and seven more sprout up.
They said that some of these, I forgot the number, but I think we're making $10 million every week on these things. I mean, or every 2 weeks. It was a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
So there's lots of money to be made. As long as there's money to be made and people willing to do it,
there's always going to be people to do it. Yeah.
So I'm sorry, but you're a very good nephew.
I was going to say, I mean, really kudos and, you know, no coal in your stocking this Christmas.
The good news is you can get a Chromebook for a few $100. Probably.
And cheapest chips.
She won't even know. She won't even know. Cheap as what?
The cheapest chips.
Oh, okay. She won't.
Okay.
Cheapest chips. Ninja.
Chips or fries, as you call them in
fries.
Freedom language. Yeah. Yes.
Freedom fries. What do you call chips?
What? Do you mean like crisps?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That's very confusing. Email from Tom. You know, we invented those chips, not crisps. Crisps, not chips.
No, the Belgians were
Belgians
way ahead
invented
of your
chips.
Yeah.
We invented crisps.
Really?
Yeah.
Crisps are an American invention?
What do you think, dude?
Then why do you have so few flavors? It's either salt and vinegar, or ranch dressing.
We have good flavors.
We have smoky bacon. We have roast chicken. We have Bovril flavors. We have Marmite flavors.
You can get seafood-flavored crisps.
Yeah, exactly. Have some fun with it. Just don't stick yourself to salt or ranch dressing.
I like my potato
cheese.
Chips to taste like potatoes.
Oh, yeah, right. And Pringles really taste like potatoes.
They're not potato crisps.
Right.
They're prefabricated potato food.
That's a good way of putting it, yes. Although food might be stretching it.
Contains some potato. Email from Tom. Hi, screensavers. Would you use a site that required a Google login? Screencastify now requires logging into my Google account. I don't like giving any site my Google password unless it's Google itself. Thanks. Tom, you're absolutely right. But that's not what's happening.
No.
So Screencastify, and I checked it out, and many other sites use a single sign. In fact, our Tech Guy Lab site uses this, a single sign-on process called OAuth, which allows a site like ours, like Screencastify, to rely on Google for authentication. So you'll see these with Google, Facebook, Twitter, GitHub, Reddit. I'm sure there are other sites that allow this as well. There's the page if you go there. When you go to Screencastify and it says sign in, it then says sign in with Google. And notice, if you look at that window, that's a Google address.
Hmm.
When you and by the way, I didn't actually have to log in because I was logged in on that browser to Google.
So it just automatically transfers.
Yeah, which account? The Leo at Laporta Gmail account? Yes. If I click that, I am not providing anything but my email address to Screencastify.
Mm-hmm.
They can ask for other information. They can have me set a separate password. The idea is to simplify the password by logging in through Google.
Yeah.
So they're not getting your Google password. It's a completely safe thing to do.
No, it's sandboxed around so that they can't actually get that important information.
There have been, I should point out, we've talked about it on Security Now, OAuth hacks. It is conceivable. You could also do cross-site scripting. You could overlay one of those pages with your own invisible page to capture a password.
If it's software and it's on the internet, it's never 100% secure, but this is about as good as it gets.
I think it's a very reliable system. It's been around for some time. And the main point is, when you use those single sign-ons, you're actually going through Google. Google will then send a token to Screencastify saying, yes, this is this guy, here's his email address. And the reason Screencastify needs to do that, you need to have an account. And I'm sure they have, and most sites do, an alternate method of signing in with your email address and giving them a separate password. And if you prefer that, go ahead and do that. But it's a convenience thing.
Yeah.
There's one button. You click it. You already have a Google account. Google says, yeah, it's Laporte@gmail.com. He's cool. Let him in. And we're done. And that's all they get is, in most cases, just the email address.
Yeah.
They don't get your password ever.
No, this, I mean, and these kind of the federated identity thing is it's something Google does very well. It's something Facebook has been trying to get into. It's something a whole bunch of providers do. And yeah, your data is secure.
I mean, if you're concerned sending Google the information that you're on Screencastify and creating.
Yeah, but let's face it, Google knows everything about us anyway.
So what's
the point?
They go, yeah, tell me something I don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously this whole system is broken. It's terrible. We need a better system than passwords. Single sign-on is just really another form of passwords.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that. Nobody can figure out a good way to do it. In fact,
biometrics doesn't work particularly well. Multi-factor works pretty well. I mean, I'm satisfied.
Certainly use multi-factor, but it adds another level of complexity.
But people
don't.
Yeah, I was at a security conference last year, and only 10% of Gmail users use multi-factor. Yeah. What are you thinking, people? It's free. It's easy to use, and it protects you so well.
Troy Hunt, who is the creator of Have I Been Pwned, great guy,
yes.
Wrote a blog post a couple of weeks ago saying, we're never getting rid of passwords,
no.
So forget it. I respectfully disagree. Steve Gibson did actually a great piece on it on my last Security Now. He's creating something he calls Squirrel, which is a simple sign-on process that doesn't require passwords, has some additional security benefits. I hope it succeeds. I hope he convinces everybody and their brother to use it, but it seems to me unlikely that if a system comes along from some unknown guy or maybe known but not Microsoft or Google, will a lot of sites adopt it? It does take a little effort on the site's part. It takes no effort on the user's part, which is nice.
What's your view on say, Windows Hello? Because, I mean, I've just been trying that out because I hate Windows 10 as an operating system, but the Hello facial recognition login is really convenient.
I think so.
And I don't think... I mean, I've tried to hack it with large-scale pictures and that sort of thing, and it hasn't worked because it does the mapping thing on the face.
Yeah, remember that when you're using a Hello-enabled face recognition machine, it's not just a regular camera. There's an infrared camera as well. So Microsoft's saying, is this a live person?
Yeah.
Is it a 3D?
I know, but I mean, I'm a security geek, so first thing is to try and hack the bloody thing.
Well, the other thing to remember is that the Hello subsystem doesn't require Face ID. It can also work with fingerprints, iris, and other stuff. So if you want a more secure system, you can get a more secure system, and you can always use your password. I would like to see systems that use Face ID and a password.
Yes.
That would be true too fast.
Defense in depth. That's the whole thing. You've got to avoid being that low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, I agree. I love fingerprint, and Apple says that its Face ID is more secure, I don't know if this can be true, than their fingerprint. The reason I doubt that is because twins can unlock your phone. Sometimes even close family members can unlock your phone because their face looks so much alike.
Yeah, although fingerprints, the last DEF CON conference where I was talking to one of the guys in the Hacking Village, it's astonishingly easy to recreate a fingerprint.
Maybe that's why they say this.
Disturbingly so. Yeah. So, yeah. I find
that very convenient. And most laptops nowadays have fingerprints.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love just to...
I love that.
Job done.
Yep. My problem with Windows Hello is you have to, you know, if you're tilted back...
If you're wearing a hat, you've got to take it off.
Yeah, all that stuff. I think it is better, though, than having to type something in. And that's what we're looking for.
Well, the big problem is people reusing passwords. Because there's only so many passwords you can remember. Unless you're smart and you use a password manager, people are going to reuse passwords. And this comes back to the Marriott hat we were talking about at the start of the show.
You bet.
You know, it's... Yeah.
If you've used one password on Marriott or an SPG...
And you've used it on a serious account, that account's pwned.
All those accounts are owned.
Yeah.
Yeah. We might as well give a plug to Troy Hunt's site. I Been Pwned with a
really
PWN, pwned.com. You can see if your email address is in one of these breaches, and soon I'm sure he'll have the Marriott breach in there as well.
Yeah.
Have I Been Pwned? You know, can I just say...
That guy's a saint for what he's done.
The answer is yes. In almost every case, yes.
Although I did hear today, apparently there are 78 people in the U.S. whose first name is ABCDE.
78?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's this
some parents
Southwest
need to be
Airlines.
Shot, I swear.
A woman got on the airplane with her daughter.
Yes, and they took the Michael out of her name, yes.
Yeah, the flight attendant made fun of it.
Yeah.
Said, what kind of name is that? She says, pronounced Absidi. Absidi?
I'm sorry, do parents just want their kids to get beaten up at school? I mean, this is just
but
this is bully
what stuns
fodder.
Me is that was... Now, by the way, the flight attendant was disciplined after mocking it on social media. But what stuns me is that this is not an isolated incident. There are 78 named
Apparently
Absidi.
There are 70. I mean, my own country, the country of my birth, is not any better. I think
your name is spelled how?
Well, my name is I-A-I-N because that's the Scottish spelling of it.
Well, that's bad. Just get rid of it.
I mean, a lot of people in Scotland have two I's, but unfortunately, over 30 people in the UK, their first name is Chardonnay.
That's a wonderful name.
No, I'm sorry. If you're a kid, that is not a wonderful name.
My daughter's named Chablis. My son is named Pino. I hope you don't have a problem with that. If you like this show, and I know you do, we'll be back again next week. Jason Howell will be my guest host. Thank you, Ian, for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Register.co.uk. And, of course, we'll see lots more of Ian on our holiday show, on our Twits. Wherever we can get you, we love to get you in here.
Always fun.
I'm kind of surprised your gift guide didn't include Marmite and canned clotted cream, but...
I'm sorry, I will not have anyone diss clotted cream. It is the food of the gods.
I rest my case.
Just remember the jam goes on first and the clotted cream on top, not the other way around.
Is that true?
Well, okay.
I've been doing it wrong all this time.
No. Devon and Cornwall people will fight to the, you know... Devonians and Cornwallians, or whatever they call themselves.
The Cornish.
Yes. Will fight to the death over which one goes which way around. But I'm always a recommendation of, the jam on the base and then the cream on top.
I'll have to try it that way. How innovative of you. If you want to watch us do this show, there's several ways you can. We had a great studio audience. Thank you.
Really good.
From all over the country. All you have to do is email tickets at twit.tv. Several people here are surprised to be here. Many of them are relieved the show's almost over.
And there's going to be brownie points going around for those that stuck it through.
So. Do email tickets at twit.tv so we can host you. And, of course, you can watch us on our live stream, twit.tv/live. The new Screensavers is produced every Saturday afternoon, about 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's 2300 UTC. And if you do watch live, join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. You can be one of the smart acres in the back of the class there. Making all sorts of jokes about Glaswegians. You're west of that. Where are you from?
My dad married a Sassenach and moved down south, so I was born in the UK, in England. But originally the family's from Ardrossan, which is on the west coast, just opposite the Isle of Arran.
We need subtitles for this show, because I don't understand a word. We can also give you on-demand versions at twit.tv/NSS. Actually, all our shows available on-demand, audio and video. This show's best consumed... fresh as video. Our Best Buy date is tomorrow. But so download it, put it on your phone. You can also use your favorite podcast application and subscribe. Mm-hmm. That is our preferred method. That way you'll automatically get it fresh and piping hot. The minute it's done Saturday evening, Anthony's going to edit it as fast as he can. And put it in.
Although, if you tune in, if you come and watch the live show, you can see the preamble where actually
you see the fun
swearing
stuff.
Is had. Yes,
all the stuff we cut out mostly. Anyway, we have a newsletter that will prepare you for the week ahead. Jerry does that. twit.tv/subscribe twit.tv/newsletter. That is even more direct. And we have an Amazon Flash briefing. So if you have an Amazon Echo device, you know your Flash briefing where you say good morning and it does all that stuff. You can go into the settings in your Amazon app, your Echo app, and add Twit. Just search for Twit. Add our Flash briefing. Little bits of all of our shows.
Oh, we'll coming.
Start your day. It's a very nice thing.
You know I'm a Luddite. I don't have those things in the house, but that is rather a nice idea.
Why the heck not?
I'm sorry.
Would let a robot follow you in the door, but you wouldn't have an Amazon Echo in there?
I don't have any IoT devices. I use my fingers. It's the old and reliable method.
Mr. Abacus. Thank you, Ian Thompson.
Always
thank you to all of you for joining us, and we will see you next time on the new Screensavers. Bye-bye! Woo!